Well, good to be in church. Good to have you guys that are in the house. For those of you online, thank you for joining today or whatever day you're engaging in worship. Good to be together. We're diving into a series in this post-Easter called So Now What? What does it look like to live the power of the resurrection in your life and in my life as we move forward? So what we're doing is taking a look and what happened to the disciples? What happened to his earlier followers? How did they transition between a time before the resurrection to a time after the resurrection? And, you know, all of us in this room, many of us in this room have experienced a lot of Easters. And we can come and have an Easter celebration or a Christmas celebration. We kind of hit these hallmark times, birth of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. And it's like a celebration or a birthday party or an event. But the question to ask is, has it made any difference? Is it something we just celebrate, or is there a power that we're being reminded of? Is there a change or a shift that's happening in your life, in my life, because Jesus was raised from the dead? So that's the question. So now what? So he's raised from the dead. Does it matter? Is it impacting our lives? Is anything changing? Is the world changing? Are the way that I'm living or acting changing? What does that look like? Last week, we kicked off, Pastor Bill shared, as the Emmaus Road experience, St. Cleopas and his friend, on that early Easter morning, were traveling to Emmaus, about 6 miles, and they were talking. And they were asking lots of questions, and Jesus came and walked with them. They didn't know it was Jesus at the time. And the point that Pastor Bill made is it's okay to ask questions. In fact, the asking of questions can begin to get us in a place by which the power of God can enter into our lives in significant ways. In fact, it was by Cleopas and his friend asking questions that they actually had a powerful encounter with the resurrected Jesus. So you might ask the questions, is the power of Christ active in my life right now? Or am I just going through the motions? The question is, why not? What am I missing? Ask the question. You may ask the question, you know, I've always known about Jesus. I grew up knowing Jesus. And every year I kind of go through the motions, but, you know, I come on hard times and I don't really feel that Jesus is present here or he's helping me in this. It kind of feels like I've got a shallow faith. You know, I know about God, but I don't feel the power of God. Ask the question. Because that asking of the question sends you on a search for more and into the place of discovery of where Jesus wants you to be. To not ask the question is to stay where you are. But see, that's part of the challenge. We live with a sense of pride in our culture that asking questions might devalue us. Like, we should know this already. If I've been a Christian all my life, then maybe I should know everything. No, we don't. And it's only through the asking of questions that we will grow, we'll dive deeper, and we'll experience the power of God. Today, I want us to think a little bit about proof. I want us to think about why Jesus spent time proving the power of the resurrection. To kind of get our arms around this a little bit, I want us to think about this game called Prove It. And I've got a helper that's going to join me on the stage. Ben, come on up, if you will. He doesn't have to take the stairs. He's tall enough. So Ben's going to help me here. There's a game called Prove It. And anybody ever played the game? Am I the only one? Wow. It's kind of a fun game. It kind of goes like this. There's four different categories. One of the categories is something you can do that you have to prove. Another one is something that you know that you have to prove that you know it. Other might be a team process or an aspect by which you're not sure. So the different categories do it. So I've chosen the category today of the skill. All right. So I'm going to give you a frisbee. These frisbees were given out yesterday at Steel Creek Community Place Grand Opening. They've got a little bag that goes with it. Let me pull mine out of the bag. They pop out like that. Kind of cool, right? Now, Ben, this is how it's played. So I think I can throw this frisbee past the third row in this auditorium.
I think I can throw it past the fifth row.
Do you think you can throw it past the fifth row? Well, I think I can throw it past all the rows.
I think I can throw it past the doors.
Prove it. What do y'all think? Should he do it? All right, here we go. Oh, okay. He made it. 1, 2, 3, 4. I still think I can get it to the back of the room.
Prove it.
All right, here we go. We'll try it. Oh, to the last row. So what do we say?
Prove it.
Prove it. There we go. So that's how it's played. Give them some encouragement. Thank you. That's how it didn't work in the resurrection. What Jesus said he could do, he proved it. Now, we as human beings, we can do all kind of things. We can try stuff, and we might prove it. You know, the NFL draft's coming up. Anybody interested? Everybody's watching the Panthers. Well, who's going to prove? What are they going to choose in the first round? What's it going to look like? And all these players are spending all this time doing what? Proving their talent. They want to be in the top level because if they can prove that they are good, they can make some what? Big money. Proving it. Now, it might seem odd for a pastor to stand on the stage and say, when it comes to Christianity and our faith, we're looking for proof. Because don't you often hear we live by faith? I've taught many message series on faith and the power of faith. In fact, in Hebrews, you know, the writer of Hebrews says that we are to live by faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. We want to tell you, take the leap of faith? Ever heard that? You know, which means that I need to step out someplace that I don't understand or that I know that's going to happen, and I'm going to trust that Jesus has me. That's kind of that faith move. So where does proof come in? And why is proof important? And when we're going to see what's next in the resurrection, what we're going to see is proof happened on the resurrection day. In fact, proof became the foundation for which any of us can even say, I'm living by faith. Now, it's kind of interesting as we kind of dive along in this, what that looks like. In fact, in Revelation chapter 12, we hear these words, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. What do you hear in that? Proof, don't you? Right there in Revelation. We will overcome, Christians, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And what that means is that we know that Jesus loves us, that he died for us, that he shed his blood to forgive our sins, that he forgives us, that he went to the grave, that he rose again. We know we will overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony of the saints, which means I can tell you what Jesus is doing in my life and I can prove it. Right there in the scriptures. Interesting, isn't it? Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, this is the same Peter who denied Jesus, the same Peter who didn't believe that he rose, but then after the resurrection saw Jesus, met Jesus on the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus then speaks into his life, Peter, do you love me? The same Peter writes in the Bible, worship Christ as Lord of your life, which means that you get up in the morning, the first thing that we do, put our feet on the floor and say, thank you, Jesus. Today, I'm going to worship you as the Lord of my life. It means all my decisions, activities, my directions are going to come under your authority and under your lordship. He goes on to say, and if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to what? Explain it, right? But do it in a gentle and respectful way. In essence, don't throw it in their face. But what he's saying is prove it. If someone asks you for the hope that's in you, prove it. Share with them where that hope is coming from and the foundation on which it's built. That's what he's saying for every Christian. We should be able to prove it. See, there's one thing to say, you know, if you want to be a Christian, just live by faith. There's another thing to say, let me prove you why it works. We want to have that. We want to understand that. We want to know it. And what that's called is apologetics. Anybody ever heard the word? Apologetics is a fancy Christian word. It doesn't mean I'm giving you an apology. It means I'm giving you an explanation for why I believe what I believe. I'm proving it. That's what apologetics is. I'm proving it. So when we teach our children here at CDK, when we teach our students in student ministry, when we're teaching you on the stage, we're actually doing apologetics. We are opening up the word, and we're helping you see in that word the proof of that word and why that word is applied to your life and it works. If you don't have that, then you got nothing to take with you. Proving it is a part of what it means to begin to live in the power of the resurrection. Now, think about the disciples and the Marys on that Easter morning. The Marys came to the tomb on that early Easter morning with spices to put on the body of Jesus. Were they believing that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, even though he said it? Not if you're carrying spices to anoint a body. Hello, right? It was the angel that actually said to the Marys, he has risen just as he said he would. He had to remind them what he said is actually true. They were proving it. And then the angel would say to the Marys, I want you to go and tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee, which he would later. We know that in the cycle of the meeting for 40 days, Jesus would meet them in the Sea of Tiberias in Galilee. He'd meet them on the mountain outside of the Sea of Tiberias of Galilee. He would then meet them again on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem as he met them on the first Easter morning. And then he would ascend, and that's where he would say, stay here until powers come on high. So all this proof is going on. Why? When he taught them for 3 years and they watched him. They watched him do miraculous things as you might see other people. They listened to him teach. They saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. So here they find themselves on Easter morning afraid, fearful. None of them looking for the power of the resurrection in their lives. They're now thinking it's all over. Isn't it interesting that Jesus would take the time to prove it? Because we all need a little proof. We all need a basis and a foundation on what we build upon. That can be in lots of things, right? But when it comes to our faith, we need a foundation and a basis for that faith to exist that is proven. So on that Easter morning, Jesus shows up, and it looks a little like this. It's recorded in Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 35. It says, then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them, and as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized Jesus as he was breaking the bread. This is where Pastor Bill was sharing last week, part of that story of the Emmaus Road. They ran back 6 miles. They met the disciples. And they're going, hey, guess what? We met Jesus. And they're going, yeah, right. As, verse 36, as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Ta-da! He says, peace be with you. They're scared to death. It looks like a ghost. How can they have peace when they're in the midst of such struggle? That's the irony of it all. When you're in the midst of the worst time in your life, somebody comes, oh, just be at peace. You're going, easy for you to say. And Jesus asked him in verse 38, why are you frightened, he asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Because they're thinking they're looking at a ghost, wouldn't you? They're not believing, aren't they? They're still, all that Jesus says is still far from their minds. And then he goes on to say in verse 39, look at my hands, look at my feet. What's he doing? Proof. You saw the nails, you heard about and saw the spear. Look. You can see it's really me. Touch me. And make sure that I'm not a ghost. So he says, see, and then what does he ask them to do? Touch. Two senses now. I'm seeing and I'm touching. Because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. And then in verse 40, he says, as he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, okay? They don't have the foundation yet, but it's starting to change. It says, with joy and wonder, they're going, whoa, this might be true. Then he went to another level. Then he asked them, do you have anything to eat? There's going to be more proof. So imagine they're broiling up some fish. What does broiled fish smell like? So now they've got another sense coming in. There's some fish broiling. Hey, you've got some fish here. Give me some of that. And he ate as they watched. Don't you think that'd be kind of hilarious? You ever sat there and eaten while 11 guys are watching you? It's a little embarrassing, isn't it? What were they watching for? That the fish is going to fall out of his body? You know, I mean, it's hilarious, okay? There's a lot of things in the Bible. It's just incredibly hilarious because we're human beings and we're funny people. We're trying to figure things out. And we need proof. And here are those that have followed Jesus. Of all people, they wouldn't need proof. So if you need some proof, you're in good company. Because even the best needed it. And Jesus was so kind and so loving to give it to them. That he would take the time to show up and say, hey, look, guys, it's all right here. I'm not a ghost. I didn't slide through the rock, through the stone. I'm right here among you. And then he doesn't stop there. He keeps meeting with them. For 40 days, he kept meeting. He met them in Tiberias, Sea of Tiberias, near Galilee. He met them on a mountain. He met them on the Mount of Olives back in Jerusalem. He had time. He was teaching them and showing them. All this time, they could see that he was real. In fact, it's interesting, in John chapter 20, in the Gospel of John, when he's recording the resurrection story, it just happens that Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas says, well, I'm not going to believe unless I get to touch the nails or see the hole in his side. And Jesus shows up and he says, okay, Thomas, here you go. Well, Thomas doesn't end up engaging in that. He just, oh, my Lord and my God. You know, he just is overwhelmed by the presence of God. And then this interesting thing that Jesus says, he says, well, blessed is everyone who doesn't see me and yet believes. Now, Jesus wasn't saying, just let everybody live by faith from now on. He was saying to Thomas, blessed is everyone who didn't get to see the proof that you got to see. But because of what you saw, and because of what you experience in me, truly being resurrected from the dead in bodily form, standing among you, and they have their faith on that foundation, they are truly blessed. Because they do not have a shell of faith. Now, what do I mean by that? What does it mean to be a sideline Christian or have a shell of a faith? A shell of a faith looks like this. It looks good on the outside. Hey, I know Jesus. I've been following Jesus. But when something difficult comes along, you rely on your own resource and your own ability. That's what a shell of faith is. It means that there's no real power in the resurrection. You have the power in you, your own way and your own will, but you know about Jesus. See, that's where the disciples were. They had a shell of a faith. Oh, we know that Jesus, man, we saw all that Jesus could do, but it really came down to it, they're hiding in fear. But when Jesus visited them and showed up and they saw him in bodily form, then they would know that they knew that they knew that there's power. That Jesus Christ rose from the dead and it was real. And if Jesus rose from the dead and it was absolutely true, then everything else Jesus said was also what? True. It was now proved. So all the faith that would ever come for any of us is not a lifeless faith. It is a faith on a foundation that has been proven. Okay? So when you're talking to your friends and your neighbors, or maybe you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I believe, or you're telling me just live by faith. No, I'm not. No one's asking you to live by faith. They're asking you to live on the foundation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to know by faith that that power that has been proved is available for you and for me. Amen? You see, we don't go through Easter after Easter after Easter just to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We go through Easter after Easter after Easter to remind ourselves that the greatest proof of the power of God was displayed in a way that is available for humankind. And I don't know about you, sometimes when a year passes, I need some more proof. I need to be reminded again that the creator of the universe loves me, he died for me, and he rose so that he can live within me, and that when I wake up in the morning and feel at the end of myself, when I'm facing difficulties and struggles that I don't know how I'm going to get through, when I've got decisions to make that I have no way of knowing what's next, I have the power of God to show me, protect me, care for me, and walk with me. Church, we good? That's what your faith is built on. And that's the kind of faith that will last. It's proven. So, what do we do with that? In the outline I gave for you, I put down four areas. I want you to walk through them one at a time and in your study notes for the week to be able to dive deeper so you can hold on to this and you can share your other friends this aspects of apologetics. Give them some meat to hold on to so that they can walk with Jesus. So what I want to do is, where do we go for proof to fill our faith and to follow into Jesus with power and boldness that changes our lives and changes the world, as it did for the disciples? They were changed from that moment on, no longer with an empty faith, but with a faith filled with power. The very first step that we need to take that makes it real is we've got to go back to the foot of the cross and resurrection morning. So you're feeling like you have a shell of faith. You're wondering, I have no power in God in my life. I'm not sure how I'm going to get through this difficulty. You're at that place of wonder. The place to start is back at the cross. What you and I have to be reminded of at that time is what Jesus did and the power that's available. That's what happened with disciples. It's interesting here in 1 Corinthians, that's what Paul talks about in Corinthians 15. He says, I'm passing on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. So what is most important? Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive. In essence, they can prove it, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. See, even then, Paul is sharing with the churches, the first place you want to start when you're struggling with faith is back to the beginning, to the foundation stone. So when you're meeting someone that you want to talk to about Jesus, talk to them about the basics. This is who Jesus is. This is why he died, and this is how he rose, and this is the power available for you. I'm not asking you to have an empty faith. I'm asking you to have a faith on the foundation that a power is now alive and well in the world for you and for me. The second is this. When you need to review that foundation and you're struggling in doubt and you want proof, go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. When you go to the Bible, when you study and read the Bible, it's kind of like being able to put your finger in the nail prints and your hand in the hole of Jesus' side. When you're in the Bible, you get a chance to see real people with real struggles, real problems, and real solutions. When you read the Old Testament, you get to see God's interaction among the people that actually existed on the face of the earth, that had struggles. They broke promises. God met them in the midst of their brokenness, restored them. They struggled again. God restored. You get to see that. There's proof right there. When you read the book of Proverbs, you get proof of real wisdom. And you put that wisdom into practice. You get to say, whoa, it works. Well, yeah, it does. Because it's wisdom passages. Whenever you're reading Proverbs, you'll go, I should have thought of that. Proof. When you're reading the Psalms, you will hear a passionate seeking of God from David and the other writers. When you read the Gospels, you'll get to see Jesus walking among real people, healing people, telling the truth of the gospel. You're on a journey. It's proof right there. People before your very eyes, how he walked and how he lived. It's available for you and me. When you read the book of Acts, you'll get to see people like us, flesh and blood, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and doing miraculous things. You might go, is that available for me? Yes, it is. You read the letters of Paul, like to the Romans or the Corinthians or the Ephesians or Colossians or Thessalonians. Those are all churches. They're all like you and me. They're church like Christ the King. You'll see how they're living it out every day. Real people, proof of what happened as you're journeying. It's not an idle faith. It's built on a foundation. The third thing we can do for that proof is to observe the life change in other followers. Any of you ever been encouraged by somebody else who's following Jesus? I know I have. I've looked at their life and said, man, I want a life like that. I've looked at their life and said, man, I would love to be able to have that attitude. I would love to be able to have that kind of peace that they're having right now in the storm of their life. It becomes proof. They're sharing an apologetic. They're letting you know the hope that's within them and how they're standing firm in the midst of that. Now, I'll give you a caveat there because it can get confusing sometimes when we watch other people. I've also heard the stories of, man, I don't believe in Jesus, or I don't like the church because of the people that are there. They seem to be hypocritical. Well, yes, it can be a little confusing when you're looking for proof in people who are broken and sinful. But let me tell you, if you're listening and you've ever had that doubt of the church or God's people, we're all a mess, okay? Let's just admit that. None of us ever will be perfect in what our lives look like in following Jesus till we get to heaven. We will make mistakes, but we will walk along the best we can. So, how do we then do it? How do we look in the lives of others and find the proof of Jesus? I want you to go back to step two, and that's to study the Bible. When you're studying the Bible and reading the Bible, you will hear the promises of God. Then you will know the promise of God, and then you will begin to see that promise being lived out in another human being who's a Christian. Then you can go to that human being who's a Christian and say, how are you living that promise? Now you're seeing a real life proof today. You're seeing the resurrected power of Jesus actually alive and well in a way that is countercultural, that doesn't seem normal, that's able to encourage your life because now you can identify it. It's powerful to walk in that way. The fourth one is this. We prove Jesus' promises to be true by living them. So I'm going to ask you, prove it. Jesus gives us many promises. We can look at them in the lives of others, but they aren't true in us until we live them. That becomes your apologetic or your testimony. For example, Jesus says that prayer changes things. Prayer changes lives. So if Jesus makes that promise, prove it. Spend an entire month gathering with your family, with your spouse, with your friends in prayer about every decision, about every difficulty, about the things going on in each other's lives. Listen to one another and offering them up to prayer in God, and watch after the month how God has proved it to be true. I guarantee you. The Bible says, Jesus makes a promise, don't judge others lest you be judged. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's a promise of God. He's got it. Prove it. Try for a month to stop judging people. Just love them. Try to admit that, you know, I'm not going to be the one that finished that off. God has it. God knows the heart. And even though I think all justice should be done now, I know that God has it in the end, and he's going to get it. What he wants me to do is invest my life in loving and caring and changing the world. Amen? Tell me about how better you're going to sleep next month when you don't have everybody's stuff on your mind. Prove it. It will happen. Jesus says, I will be a light to your path and a lamp to your feet. If you've never asked Jesus for detailed directions for everything in your life, start. Prove it. Because he says he will provide it. He says he will give wisdom. So start every decision that you need to make, every conversation you're having with your spouse, all the same, bring them to the Lord in prayer and ask him, Lord, would you show me? Would you give me wisdom from above? Will you speak into my life in the Holy Spirit? Will you surround me with Christian friends who will help me align with your way and your will? Like we sang in the song, it's better your way. And you will see, after a little time, how your direction will change. For the good. Prove it. You see, Christians are a faithful people. I live by faith, but my faith has a foundation. And the foundation is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And it's absolutely true, it's been proven. And because he did that, I can count on him in faith for all the promises that he has for me and for you. And faith itself becomes a proof. And the more I live in faith, the more I'm able to look in the rearview mirror and see God's faithfulness, that he has proven to be true, that as I look forward, I know he's got it. Fair enough, church? That's the beauty of God. It's the beauty of the power of the proof of the resurrection. So number one, don't be afraid to ask questions. Secondly, don't be afraid to want a little proof. Because so does everybody out there who's longing to know their Creator. Now you have it. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your love. And for your grace always. We thank you for what you have done and what you continue to do. Father, I praise you. And we thank you for meeting us. Father, as we look at what you did for the disciples, thank you for showing up and giving them proof that what you said is absolutely true. That today we stand on that foundation. Father, today I pray for anyone in this room or anyone watching online that hasn't asked you to be the Lord of their life. Father, today they would turn over their life to you. They'd say, I'm ready to do it. God, I confess that I'm a sinner. I know that through the cross of first importance, you have forgiven my sin, that you love me, and that you want to be the Lord of my life. So, Father, give me the gift of your Holy Spirit, that I may feel the power of your grace and the power of your resurrection to live and move in me today and every day. Father, help us as the church to impact this world as the early disciples did. That today what happens in our lives isn't just for us, but for us to live your kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name. Many of you in this room or any of you online have prayed that prayer and you long for the Lord to be in your life, confirm that today. There'll be some prayer partners in this prayer section to my left. You can meet them there. They'll pray with you. They'll confirm for you this decision you made today. They'll start walking with you what it is to be baptized and to walk with Jesus. For those of you online, you can engage with a prayer partner and they'll do the same with you. Church, God loves you. He has a pathway for you. He wants us to know what's next, that we can live boldly in his will and his way. Good? Next week, invite a friend. We'll see you in this place. Look forward to having you. God's grace.